afternoon is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read the entire chapter. Our text is found in the 14th and 15th verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That far we read, and God's holy, inspired word, may God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this afternoon is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been persuaded of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to another school year, and with that, to another season of catechism and of Bible societies. I had just this morning the joy of hearing one of the children express their excitement of beginning catechism again. I hope that's true for others as well. And yet I wouldn't be surprised if not everyone shared that enthusiasm. We all have the old man of sin, and maybe some of the children are thinking about catechism. Do I have to? Maybe some of the older ones might think the same way about Bible study. I'm just not into that, maybe is the expression. In God's providence, our consideration of 2 Timothy brings us to an exhortation about learning. Not just learning in general, but learning Scripture. Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things thou hast learned. And that word, of course, is not just for Timothy, else it never would have been included in Scripture if it was just for Timothy. It's not just for ministers, although it certainly is for ministers, as Timothy was a minister, but this word applies to all of us. Continue thou in the things thou hast learned. There's a personal word to each one of us. And of course, the apostle is talking about the truths of Scripture as they point to Jesus Christ. Why must we continue in these truths? Evidently, because biblical truth, and I suppose it's obvious, but we say it anyhow, biblical truth is absolutely necessary for the Christian life. Certain things have to be learned and held unto if you and I are going to live our lives to the glory of Christ our Savior. That's basic. If you're going to drive a car, you need to learn how a car works. If you've never seen a car, if you had never seen a car in your life, if no one ever showed you how to put a key in the ignition, if no one ever showed you how to start the car, where the gas pedal was, where the brakes were, how to put the car in gear, you wouldn't know how to drive a car. I remember hearing of a young man, a family that was a friends of ours. This young man thought he could drive the family car without instruction and without permission. Probably he had seen his father and mother drive the car many times. You can guess what happened. As soon as he put the car in gear, the car started moving. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake and ran into a tree. He had to work at McDonald's many hours to make up for that mistake. But the point is, beloved, he didn't have basic knowledge, the knowledge that he needed to be able to drive. And even so, in the Christian life, we need knowledge. That's the way it is. It's impossible to be a Christian without learning. And so the Holy Spirit exhorts Timothy, and the Holy Spirit exhorts us, continue in the things which we have learned, especially as those truths center around Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Let's consider the text then under that theme, continuing in the things that we have learned. Let's note that urgent exhortation, the weighty considerations that the apostle gives, why is that so important? And the only possibility, continuing in the things that we have learned. Paul was not concerned that Timothy grow in his knowledge of wives' tales. He was not concerned about Timothy's knowledge of geometry or history per se. Paul was concerned about things of far greater weight and importance. He was talking about the kind of truth that you and I ought to be willing to suffer and die for. The apostle was. He talks about his own example. He was talking about the truth of the gospel. The truth that, in the context, the truth that Jesus Christ didn't stay in the grave. The truth that there is life in Jesus Christ for miserable sinners the truth that Jesus said, that Jesus saves not according to our works, but according to His purpose and His grace. The truth that Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. The truth that Jesus Christ is willing and able to preserve us in that salvation that He has given to us until that day. The truth that if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Beloved, can you think of a more glorious truth than the truth of the gospel? Is there anything in all the world that is more glorious than the truth of the gospel? That's the truth that the Apostle Paul was concerned about. That's the truth you and I need to be concerned about. It's significant that Timothy began to learn these things already as an infant. That's the idea of the original. Verse 15, it says, "And that from a child," and the word in the original refers to an infant, a little baby. "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Timothy didn't learn these truths in a mystical manner by meditating out in the field without anything to meditate upon. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice sat down, took the time to show little Timothy the truths of the Scripture. That's instructive, parents, for us. We become so busy in life. Sometimes we don't spend the time that we ought to teaching our children when they're at such an impressionable age, when they soak up the learning. We ought to take instruction from this. And children, when you hear Bible stories, remember, we're learning something about God and the greatness of God and His salvation, His power to save. How many stories in the Old Testament we see the power of God to create the heavens and the earth, the power of God to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. You learn that in the stories of Scripture. You learn how Adam and Eve brought misery upon the whole human race when they took a literal piece of fruit from a literal tree as they were tempted by the serpent. How they brought misery upon us all. You learn in the Scriptures that God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. You learn in Jesus how He was a friend of sinners. You learn by the example of the saints too. And we need to see that as well. The Bible opens up the history of the saints and shows that they weren't perfect by any stretch. They also had only a small beginning. They also fell in sad, sad ways. And yet God restored them. You learn in the history of Scripture God's love for His people. Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's why, children, we have catechism classes. Parents teach our children at home. We ought to teach them from a young age. And then also we have catechism classes. We start with children in grade one already and catechized all the way up into early adulthood, why do we spend all that time teaching our children? Because we want our covenant children to be wise unto salvation. We want them to grow in the knowledge of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. History classes help children learn about God and His wonderful works of salvation. Then the doctrine classes put all that knowledge together and show how the various truths all fit together into one cohesive whole. Through their learning, we want our children, and we heard that this morning, we want our children to be prepared for a lifetime of giving glory to God. That's the reason, too, beloved, that our churches support Christian schools as well. Not merely because we want our children to be successful in their jobs and we think that our teachers can do a better job at teaching math than other teachers. It's not merely to protect our children, knowing the evil that surrounds them in other schools. Not merely for that, although that's a good reason too. And that evil company corrupts good spiritual habits. We send our children and support Christian schools, not merely because we want our children to learn sound Reformed doctrine, although that's a good goal as well. Ultimately, we support good Christian schools because we want our children to live to the glory of God. And all those other things serve that goal. In the sphere of family, on the job, as citizens in an earthly country, and yet citizens also of heaven, we want our children to learn. We want our children to know how to use their knowledge in every subject in a way that pleases God. So when they have that goal, when all knowledge is related to Jesus Christ as it should be, then when they come to a history class, when it's taught from a Christian perspective, history is not just a sequence of events that this and that happenstance caused, but history now becomes His story. It becomes God's providential rule in all of the creation for the good of His people, to realize, to bring about covenant fellowship with His people. And when all knowledge is related to Jesus Christ, then even something as neutral, as we might say, even something as neutral as mathematics, we would say, this too we place in the service of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul assumes the importance of learning the truth concerning Jesus Christ from the Holy Scriptures. He doesn't talk about it, he assumes it. But just because we have learned something about the gospel doesn't mean now that we have arrived. Paul doesn't just say to Timothy, Timothy, you learned those things in the past, and then stop there. Now that you learned those things, you can sit back and relax. No, Timothy had learned much from the Apostle Paul, but Paul does not tell him to be happy with that knowledge that he had. Rather, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Timothy, you learned many things regarding Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, continue in those things. When I think of continuing, I think of the Olympics. I can't help but think of all the time that athletes have put into their training. Their training consumes them. They eat and drink and sleep and train and train and train more, all with one goal in mind, to be the best that they can be and hopefully come away with some piece of metal that they can hang around their neck. A runner might run upwards of 100 miles a week in order to train for a marathon. But we know what would happen if he did not continue to train. If he decided for himself, I've come far enough, I'm in good shape, now I'm going to sit on my couch. We know what would happen. He would lose his fitness. He would stop winning races. Because not continuing is to go backwards. And so too, beloved, if you and I do not continue in the things that we have learned, soon enough we will be open to deception. When we give up truths, if we give up certain truths that we have learned, and if we settle for error, well, soon enough, that error is not going to seem so bad anymore. What's so bad? What's so bad about a little Arminianism? They still believe in Jesus. When we settle for error, that error doesn't seem so bad anymore. Go to a church that does not regard the Lord's Day as holy. And soon enough, we will be going to picnics in the park on Sunday afternoon because that won't seem so important anymore. Go to a church that teaches some or other sort of error, and soon enough, we may even start defending it. So, beloved, to continue in the things that we have learned does not... It certainly means don't give up the truth, but it also means that we don't just remain stagnant. To continue is to continue to live out of that truth. The truth, for example, that Timothy learned concerning the sovereignty of God. To continue in that truth is to embrace that truth in times of health, but also in times of sickness, in times of ease, but also in times of difficulty. When things turn difficult, as they inevitably will, for all who desire to live godly, to continue in the truth means that now we seek to submit ourselves to the sovereign God, knowing, according to the truth we have learned, that He is working all things together for our good. Live out of that truth that God has given to us. And not only that, to continue in the things we have learned means that we give ourselves to become established, to become settled in those truths. It's one thing to say, using that same doctrine as an example, it's one thing to say, God is sovereign, but if I still raise my fist in my heart, raise up my fist in anger against God because of the way that things have turned out in my life, then I haven't understood His sovereignty. I haven't understood His sovereignty in the light of His mercy and love towards us in Jesus Christ. To continue in the things we have learned means I keep growing in my knowledge of that doctrine and of all doctrine. Learning how to apply that doctrine in different circumstances in my life. Learning how other doctrines fit together with that doctrine. Part of the urgency of continuing in the things that we have learned is the fact that there are open enemies of the truth, as well as hypocritical opposers of the truth, imposters. The apostle refers to those in the context, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. There's the contrast. Here's the circumstance. There are evil men and there are imposters all around. But thou continue. There's the circumstance that shows the urgency of continuing in the truth. There are people who themselves are deceived concerning the truth. They are deceived by the devil. And what's worse, they go about to deceive others. They're not content to hold on to error. They want to spread their error. And then the danger is, beloved, that we ourselves might be deceived on certain points. Strong delusions, Jesus says, will come in the last days and will deceive the very elect, if that were possible. Thankfully, Jesus Christ holds His own in His mighty hand. So it's not possible. It's not possible that true children of God will ever be so deceived that they will deny the faith altogether. It's not possible. We may stumble, but we will not fall. God will not allow it. But we might be deceived to the loss of our comfort. We might be led astray on certain things. We might be deceived and cause God's name to be blasphemed by holding on to doctrine that takes away from His glory. I remember a discussion in seminary concerning a heretic by the name of N.T. Wright. Prominent theologian who argues for justification by faith plus works. And what struck me in our discussion is that this man took the time to memorize the entire book of Galatians, a great book regarding justification. He memorized the entire book of Galatians in the Greek in order to become an expert. And what's so bad about doing that is that he used that knowledge not to steer him in the direction of the truth, but he used that knowledge as a weapon to deceive others. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And if there are heretics that are willing to go to that length to deceive God's people, to study God's Word in that depth, to learn that much in order to deceive, then we also, beloved, must be busy learning. The church needs to be busy learning. I realize the theologians, professors, and ministers need to be busy learning, but all of God's people need to be busy learning so that we are ready to give an answer when heretics teach their error. We need to be able to answer a fellow believer who begins to be convinced by the arguments that seem sound, that seem to be based on Scripture, but which are taken out of context and that are not compared to all of Scripture. Beloved, are you continuing? Am I continuing in the things that we have learned? I realize that not everyone is a voracious reader or has the time to read extensively. I wish I myself had more time to read spiritual literature. But if I'm honest with myself, there are many times I do meaningless things when I could be using that time for much more profitable studying and reading. And the sad thing about it is we miss a certain blessing that comes by way of reading and meditating upon Scripture and other spiritual literature. When we don't give ourselves to that, when we say, I know everything there is to know already, we end up knowing less. We end up with less knowledge, and then the knowledge that we do have is less firmly grounded. And then the less we know about Jesus Christ and His person and His work, the less equipped we are to worship Him and praise Him for that work. So the Holy Spirit, beloved, says to us, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Living to the glory of God is not just about following our feelings and hunches and saying, well, this is the way I feel about it. God wants us to take our lives and base our lives following the truth of His Word. And when our minds and hearts are captivated and informed and inflamed by an understanding of the truth revealed in the Word, then we will be equipped to glorify God. If our Christian life grows out of an understanding of the truth, then it follows that we ought to desire a firm understanding and appreciation of that truth. Just like a plant grows out of the soil, you don't grow a plant by hanging it up in the air, although there are certain kinds of plants that do that. But normally, generally speaking, you put a plant in the soil. And so too, you need truth. The Christian faith grows out of the truth of the gospel. And that's why when Jesus says, He prays to God, and He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Because that's the means that God uses to sanctify His people. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. As an encouragement to continue in the truth, the Spirit gives several weighty considerations. In the first place, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that he had been assured of these things. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Or we could translate, even those things thou hast been assured of. And what that's saying is that when you and I are convinced that the doctrines and teachings we have learned are based squarely on God's Word, then it follows God will have us continue in them. Buy the truth and sell it out. Think about certain doctrines. There's no question, beloved, our position in our churches, our position on divorce and remarriage, is a hard doctrine. The disciples themselves said that to Jesus. This is a hard saying. But it is clear from Scripture. This is what the Scriptures teach. And as we are assured of that doctrine, then you and I must continue in this doctrine. Most Reformed churches have abandoned the doctrine of God's sovereign particular grace. That doctrine held up in the Senate of Dor. But we are assured, based on God's Word, we are assured this is a clear teaching of God's Word. You and I must continue in that doctrine. How shameful it would be when God has given us precious doctrine. How shameful it would be to depart from the truth of God's Word when we know it is the truth. When there's no question in our mind. We have been assured of them, then continue in them. The second consideration the Apostle Paul puts before Timothy is the trustworthiness of the teacher. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The fact that Timothy had learned these things from a man who had been sent from God, sent directly by Jesus Christ, ought to carry some weight with Timothy. And the fact that Paul's apostleship had been confirmed by the signs and wonders that he had wrought by the power of the Spirit, that added to his testimony, continue in those things. On top of that, Timothy was well acquainted with Paul's ministry. Verse 10 of the context, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Timothy had fully known Paul's doctrine and manner of life, etc. He followed it closely. He saw the apostle going through these things. It wasn't just an academic thing then that Timothy was taught as much as something that Timothy caught by seeing these truths lived out in the Apostle Paul's life. Timothy could see how Paul's doctrine affected his life. Timothy could see that Paul lived in a certain way. He could see that Paul had a purpose in life to bring glory to Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, said the Apostle. And he showed it by the way he lived. Timothy could see Paul's faith, his long suffering, and the love that was given to him by Christ. He saw all those things, and he saw Paul's willingness to suffer for the sake of the gospel. The Apostle Paul was kicked out of the city of Antioch for preaching the gospel. He was almost stoned at Iconium. He would have been stoned if he had not fled. And at Lystra, they actually were able to stone him, and they left him for dead. And yet, for all those difficulties, Paul was unwilling to leave the truth. He almost died, but he was determined to continue in the truths of the gospel. Beloved, what kind of difficulties have you faced? And are they enough to drive you away from the truth of the gospel? The Holy Spirit says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. In The third consideration that Paul set before Timothy is that he had received this knowledge starting from the time that Timothy was a little child. Timothy could see the truths he had learned, and he, based on the knowledge that he had of the Old Testament scriptures, he could see that what the apostle was teaching fit together with the scriptures of the Old Testament. He could test the truth, like the Bereans, searching the scriptures to see if those things were so. It is possible, of course, to hear wrong doctrine from the pulpit. No minister is perfect. Not only that, a minister might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. But if what your minister says agrees with the Word of God, then God says to you and to me, continue in the things which thou hast learned. And the last consideration that Paul sets before Timothy is that these truths are able to make thee wise unto salvation. As the truth of Scripture is applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we obtain true wisdom. There's all kinds of wisdom in the world, that wisdom with different goals. In some cases, it leads to power and fame and wealth, but that's not the kind of wisdom the apostle is talking about. This wisdom leads to the enjoyment of our salvation. I don't say it saves us as if we were unsaved and we obtain this wisdom and we save ourselves, but for those who are saved by grace, God gives this wisdom so that we enjoy our salvation. How is it possible for us to continue in the things that we have learned? How is it possible for those truths to be a blessing to us? Well, not just by studying the Scripture. Not just by memorizing the book of Galatians. Not by Scripture alone, apart from the Holy Spirit. False prophets are happy to learn Scripture. Not by our own strength and wisdom either, because our own hearts can lead us astray. And that's why the apostle adds, when he says about the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, he adds this qualification, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Only through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Only those who seek the truth and learn the truth by the power of the Spirit worked in us. Only those who seek these truths and learn these truths and hold on to these truths by faith. Only when the Spirit of Christ works in us will we desire and do according to His good pleasure. So the apostle is not telling Timothy to continue in these things apart from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Exactly the opposite, he says, continue thou in these things, but in faith, looking to Jesus Christ, looking to Him who has paid for all the blessings of salvation, looking to Him to bless the means. Because we can study the Scriptures backwards and forwards. We can memorize all kinds of Scriptures, and it will do not one bit of good unless the Holy Spirit applies those truths to our hearts. As we set ourselves, beloved, to continue in the things we have learned, then, look to Him. Look to Christ to apply these truths. Pray to Him to bless the instruction that it might bear fruit. And then continue by His grace and the truths that we have learned. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come unto Thee in this afternoon hour, conscious that we are all but vessels of clay, conscious that we are all creatures of the dust. Thou knowest how far we all fall short of the wisdom that we desire. Grant us, O Lord, that we would grow. Grant that we would continue in the things that we have learned. Cause us by Thy grace to remain faithful to the glory of Thy great and holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.